This the link up. This the link up. This the link up. Welcome to the link up. This the link up. This the link up. This the link up. Welcome to the link up.
Yes, yes, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Link Up Podcast with your host, Mr. King Woods, and we got Rashid in the building today.
The Takens are back, bitches!
Basically, that's what's going on today. Okay, let me just get right to it. Today is going to be a different type of episode, I don't even know if to call it an episode. This is episode 99.5, and the reason for that is because we want to do something special for episode 100, and we want to have the whole squad here for episode 100, you know, since it's like episode 100, you know, this is like a significant moment in the Link Up Podcast history. Like, who thought we would have made it to episode 100, and we didn't know we'd keep doing this for this long.
We still here.
But yeah.
And we also didn't want to go a week without the episode.
Multiple reasons, basically.
Yeah.
So instead of just taking a break to make sure we could do it on the day when everybody here, we're giving y'all a little 99.5 to hold y'all over to the next one. When we do that, we're now going to be episode 100.
Yes.
And on the note of episode 100, for that episode, we want to do something a little different, like I said. So we're going to be live streaming that episode. This is like the heads up to let y'all know to make sure to look out for that one, as well as probably should have, you know, established the exact date and thing when and time.
Yeah, but going
we'll drop it on the socials.
Yeah, keep an eye on the socials, essentially.
Yeah, make sure to pay attention to the Instagram and the Facebook and stuff to be updated on exactly time and date that we're going to be doing, so you could make sure to catch the live stream. And the whole point of that is basically so that y'all could interact with us, send us questions and comments while we're recording something we don't normally do. But like we said, we want to do something a little different for episode 100, so we're going to have some questions that are going to be posted on the social medias from the IG and Facebook pretty soon.
Yeah.
So yes, be on the lookout for those so you could give us your comments and let us know what type of topics you'll want us to talk about and all of that good stuff.
So with that said,
let's get right into the first topic of the episode, which will be... this is something that I kind of wanted to talk about on an earlier episode, but because it was inspired by Simon's Day and whatnot. But yeah, we never got around to it, so we're going to talk about it today. On that day, basically, there was a picture going around that a lot of people shared regarding like a little translation of a few typical Samaritan phrases and showing like the actual, I guess, proper English type of translation that it would be. Things like me, you know, translated into I don't know and all of these things. And it just had me thinking about like, I don't know if y'all know, but there's a book with the same idea, more or less. Like, there's a Samaritan dictionary, I guess you can call it, that was done by a Samaritan author that is that same thing, but expanded to, like, a couple pages worth of stuff. And
okay.
Yeah, and it has different things involving the grammatical rules, like, for example, how we would say I does go or something like that, but it's typically not correct, but they would have, like, what I would mean and just the general way you would say it. And all of that just brings me to the topic of like formalizing Samaritan English. And I feel like it's a weird thing. Like, I feel conflicted on it, where like if you were to do it like for the Samaritan's Day thing, for the meme type of purposes, joking purposes, you know, it's all good and whatnot, it's nothing serious. But I just think about like if Samaritan were to ever create our own language for us, for example. This was something that was being talked about when Rhoda was in politics. I'm trying to remember the name, mother tongue education or something. That was like the slogan of what she was running with, basically, to teach Saman people in the language that are comfortable speaking, because, you know, Dutch is kind of like a foreign language to most of us, because at home we speak English, majority of us, and then we like Samaritan English. So using that kind of perspective to bring it in, and is like, what do y'all think about that idea?
Well,
if you were to make Samaritan English a legitimate language.
I mean, it's not a bad idea. I mean, I basically grew up on an island where that's what happened, basically.
Y'all situation a little different, though. Like, I get where you're coming from, and it's true, but y'all situation a little different. In a sense that I feel like Papiamento is more of, like, its own language versus Seman English.
Yeah.
I feel you, but, like, Papiamento is, like, multiple languages just...
Exactly.
...had a baby. Yeah, true. So it
kind of become its own
thing. Yeah. But it wasn't...
We just take from English, primarily, and it's just, like, I guess...
The thing about Samaritan English is that it's still English, right? Yeah. It's just a dialect.
In Jamaica, because Jamaica is a bigger island, like... Mm-hmm. Do we know, like, when they read books, or do they have, like, studies in classes? I think they have
certain things that's in the actual Jamaican patois, but that's another one where I feel like that is different enough from, like, traditional, along with, like, they got their own words, they have their own, along with just breaking, I feel like ours is more just breaking English rules, the current English grammatical rules and stuff like that, and our accent is different.
But, yeah.
There's a few unique words, but it's like, even the stuff like me knowing thing that you might look at as a unique word, is just a contraction, more or less, that we just kind of, me ain't know, and how if you say it fast enough, you get to me know, and me ain't know is just like not saying the... If you get where I'm coming from, it's like, it's different.
I mean,
it's like shortcut English.
Yeah, but I feel at like the same time,
from half to is like going very different. That's a whole new word, like in the Jamaican type of sense.
Yeah,
but I think the thing is with that, like, if you would give St. Martin the time to develop, and if the language keeps going the way it's going, at a certain point, you're going to have your own, because once you legitimize the native tongue, it will expand in the sense that, okay, now we're making it more a official language, so by that definition, now you're going to think about all the other words and, okay, what would be more comfortable for our people to speak. So then just by that definition alone, the language will grow and expand.
Because I feel like we have a few unique words, like things like a Jack Spania and a Congolio that I can't think of any.
This first time I'm hearing those.
I feel like we discussed Jack Spania. We discussed on the podcast before.
Congolio.
But a Congolio, I can't think of any other language that refers to a millipede as
that's
a Congolio.
Congolio.
Yes, the real word is a millipede.
No,
I don't know where it comes from. I don't know. But you know.
But
my thing with it is, I feel in a way that formalizing the language is basically because of the current form that it's in now. If you were to formalize it in its current state, I feel like it's basically admitting defeat in a way and saying that, yo, we just can't figure out this English thing. Like, to me, that's kind of what it is. Because right now it's basically broken English. Our language is broken English. English that's not really following the rules. And when you look into the origin of why a lot of Seman people speak the way they do, or where like a lot of typical Seman words come, to me it's not that this was its own language. It was just, we did, we couldn't, you know, get back to slavery, but slaves couldn't read and write and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They put here in the place, and they just kind of figured out learning the language orally just by listening and stuff like that, not seeing it properly written down and all of these things. So we just made the best of a bad situation, and that's kind of how Samaritan English is, or why Samaritan English is the way it is. And you go a couple generations down the line, usually much like when you look at first immigration parents and look at their children, the way that their children speak versus them, like, it gets more and more like whatever the home country type of thing is. And I feel like if you look at my accent versus my mother accent, like, she more speaks, I guess, traditionally Samaritan. I have a lot more American influence in my own. And I feel like that's kind of holds true. Basically saying that it's not that we speak this way because it was an intentional choice to create a Samaritan language or nothing like that. It just kind of happened, and it was unfortunate situations where we couldn't really get the opportunity to be educated and speak English the right way. So we just did what we did type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it developed a little, passed down through generations, the accent and ways of saying certain things or whatever. And as you get educated, it kind of deteriorating, like, it becomes less and less and more Americanized or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's funny
the traditional how, English is.
It's funny how if it because we're in a unique situation that we as Caribbean people growing up on Caribbean islands, most of us experience the same thing at just almost the same time. No, but in our case, all the same colonizers too. But how still we all develop differently? Because like this is, I would assume because like I don't really come from that time period, so I can't know for sure. But so we have Dutch colonizers coming to the island and basically running shop. People from the States and multiple other places coming to one island. None of them speak.
Was it also Spanish language for a while?
We're talking about the Ruben Aura.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden,
Dutch, French, Americans.
Yeah. All of a sudden, this random language pops up because everybody trying to communicate with one another. And then
Portuguese was never over there.
I don't go that far.
Listening to it, I would say Papiamento, it certainly has some similarities. I know Portuguese and Spanish very similar in general, so I mean it could just be that some of the things the Spanish carry over or whatever. But
I mean it would kind of make sense, you know, when you look at Brazil being so close to over there.
Yeah, all of that is why I'm thinking like.
And the Portuguese were the people going around all over the world. So
I would dare to argue and say maybe it's more the Venezuelan people that maybe moved to the island.
Could be,
especially because the thing with Aruba is when the boom really happened was when the oil refinery came to the island, and that's when a lot of people moved in, and that's why even like all of the words that we use, for example, Jockey is a brand. But Jockey was the first brand that came to the island, so we got all on the pants Jockeys.
Now like Keds too? Keds.
Yes.
Keds is a similar
like
thing.
Like Freezer. Like Freezer is just the like brand
Conflicts
name.
Conflicts for us. Like all cereal becomes Conflicts when it's just like that just, there's a difference between a brand and the
I didn't even know Jockey was a brand. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's a brand. Freezer, the same thing, like brands. It's a brand of
Freezer's a brand?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's the actual term?
I have no idea.
Is it freezer? Not a freezer? I know there's a refrigerator. That's the one thing. But the freezer part, is it not just called a freezer?
Everyone calls it freezer.
To my knowledge, I think freezer is a
Dragon Ball.
That was going to be my next thing. That was going to be the next thing I went to. Like, isn't freezer
I think I confused you with refrigerator.
Fridge?
There's one, like, what? Frigidaire.
Frigidaire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Frigidaire is a brand.
Yeah.
Frigidaire is a brand. Yeah.
So that's what we call it in Papiamento.
Ah.
Okay.
And like, I feel like, because Papiamento, like, it's the last, like, 10 years, my uncle thought, please don't kill me, because he's one of the people that, like, officially, like,
teach Papiamento?
Writes the grammatical rules of Papiamento.
Oh, okay.
Like, he's the kind of the father of Papiamento. Mm-hmm. It's the last 10 to 15 years, let me give me some space, that Papiamento actually, like, we started to establish rules.
Grammatical rules.
To then be able to teach the language in schools. Because you can't, to be able to teach a language, you need to have a set of rules to be able to. So this happened in my time period. So before that, we just knew how to write it.
But feeling.
Yes. Yeah. But it's
spell
even
the
that
word how you think go like go phonetically whatever sound it out and that's what you
just write it.
But that's until we started putting rules, and now our Papiamento is different from the one in Curacao,
because now there's like the C and the K and stuff like that.
Papiamento, the way you in Curacao, the way you hear it, that's usually how you write it. So if it sounds like a K and an A, it's a K and an A. But in Aruba Papiamento, if it's a K and an A, then you put a C. Because K-A is C. Or the K sound is a C. It's a rule. It's a real rule. But yes, it's a rule nonetheless. So that's how it starts to differ. But yeah, I don't know that. I just... Yeah, I just think if you put a bunch of different cultures on a small piece of rock, it's just bound to happen regardless.
Like, dialects is something that exists everywhere, but I mean, they're still like, okay, this is our international language. And I feel like, to me, with Saman, we just got to decide, okay, is it going to be English? Then we got to get our English better. To me, that's just what it is. I feel like that's a better solution versus, like, formalizing Saman in English. Right. Like I said, to me, that feel like giving up. Yeah. It's just like lowering the standard to try to make it easier for people. That's kind of how you see it. Like,
right,
instead of making them learn something, let's meet the people where they're at and be like, okay, they're already speaking like this. Let's just make it so that that's not wrong no more.
You know, actually, now that you're saying that, nah. If y'all want to have your own form of English, do that. Because Canada has their own form, Australia has their own form. If
you go to just a dialect. Is that not just accent versus a whole new English? Yeah, but it's
also the way how you say certain things.
According to me, English, they just have different... The only different English is like British and the UK English.
I can't really comment on that because I think it's like certain things that they... Like sentences and certain words that they would use might still be different. I can't really talk about it in that sense.
Like there'll be different words and stuff to say like... Same way, the UK, there's chips and lorry and stuff like that to kind of refer. A lorry is a trailer, and chips would be potatoes or whatever, things like that. I feel like Australia, like they probably have that. Like pavement
and sidewalk, for example. Like, but yeah, like wife, like for some reason, like but a wife.
I don't think that means it's a whole new language, though. Nah. Like, if you just got a couple words that... say Jack Spaniard instead of... Yeah, but
that's what I mean, like...
But is it formalized? Like, this is what is taught in the schools that if you see a wasp, it's called a Jack Spaniard? Like,
that would have to be the case, right?
In Australia, then. I feel like in the UK and in Britain and all the colonies that fall under either the UK or, I mean, America, the UK or the US, they kind of subscribe to whatever English the mother country uses. So I would assume in Australia it's just the same thing. We take the British English and that's our like formal official language, but what is spoken amongst the people, they'll say whatever you want, more or less, the same way how it is for us. Right. Same way how you go to different provinces here in the Netherlands and you get the accents, the dialects of Dutch, and it's like, what is you saying? It almost don't even sound like Dutch anymore. Like, that's kind of how I view Australia and those type of places, but... Yeah. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, that's why I don't know for sure either. But it's just because when you even go to, like, for example, when you turn on your phone and you choose the language, then you get English and then you get a bunch of different options of English. And I mean, like, if it's really just American English and British English and the rest is just blanket terms, then why so many options? Like, I don't know, so I just assume that there has to be some type of difference for them to put a specific category in the phones, for example.
I never looked into that, so I don't have an answer to that question, basically. Don't know. Well, okay. How do you feel about it, Rashid? Is it lowering the bar or not? Is it admitting defeat?
If you formalize the language, I think I kind of having difficulty grasping what you mean with formalizing the language itself, or formalizing the way we speak English.
It's basically everything Woods was just saying about what happened with Aruba and Papiamento. The same way how you actually got to lay out some rules, create a book. The same way how you went to school and you learned Dutch and you got to read and comprehension type of things. And it's so basically you that,
give it rules on how to speak Samaritan English. Yeah. Or how to write Samaritan.
And it would basically say, have some kind of thing that me know is just the proper way that we say I don't know or whatever. And different things like that would be the start. Like establishing vocabulary of Samaritan words, the grammatical rules of Samaritan English, like stuff like the I does go in, that would just be like, yeah, you add I does and odd does, and like whatever the rule would be, you do that process and then you go through a process of teaching a couple generations of this so that they know that Samaritan English is just formal English and the proper way to speak. And to me, in reality, I just feel like that's craziness.
I'm thinking why, right now we don't write the way we speak, all right?
And we still write with proper grammar. All of that leads to confusion in a way.
Yeah.
Like, for some people, because it's like you hearing this all the time, mm-hmm. but then when it comes now to spelling and writing it on a test, because you're hearing it, or you might want to spell it or say things the way you're accustomed to hearing it,
yeah.
but then it's like you got to do that extra filter because, oh no, that's incorrect. What I'm hearing is wrong. So let me translate it to proper formal English or whatever, yeah. and then write that down, because that's accepted on a test. That's what right. we grading things on in school.
Yeah.
But it would just be like, if you say whatever that's in English and things like that, it just wouldn't be wrong.
Right.
It wouldn't be a spelling mistake or a grammatical error being taken off of whatever you say and stuff like that.
Right.
That would be formalizing it, making it at some point our laws potentially would be okay. written in Simhat in English.
Right. Like, right.
That is what it means, more or less.
I don't see the point in doing that. I mean, like, the English that we get in school, the grammar rules and whatnot, that's like an international thing. Everywhere you go, you write in that form, you write with that grammar. It's correct everywhere when in terms of English.
And that's the thing. The thing is about really creating what is smart and identity. Do we okay. want the smart and identity to be the language put on us by colonizers being either English or Dutch, both of them same thing,
yeah.
or we could take it in our own hands and create this, because the conversation been about independence and whether we should or shouldn't be independent and all of these things is crucial. There's been debate around the flag, because the anthem,
mm-hmm.
because it's not like officially recognized as it's not an official anthem or something. It's like a Simhat song, but there's a different process that needs to be taken to legitimize and make like an official anthem and all of these type really? Of things. Like, there's a lot of things that would be needed to really create like a Simhat identity and all of that type of thing. And the language is a crucial part of that. Like, an Indian speaks,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
like that kind of thing. And for Simhat, it's like, we just speak English, but why? Like, it don't make no sense. It's not our shit, basically.
Right.
So that would be kind of the logic as to why you would do something like that. And when you look at how every other country operates, it's a natural thing that the language they're hearing is what they're seeing on their tests. And these things provide like a kind of, I guess, unsaid advantage in some way for a native speaker of this country, because everything is designed in the language that you already speak. It's yeah. made for you, basically. And that's the kind of little, it's just taking away those barriers is the logic behind it. So I do mm-hmm. see some value in that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if Simhat in English is the answer. To me, I more agree with if Simhat, this is even harder step in some ways, if Simhat were to adopt Papiamento. Because
uh-huh.
I feel like they already went through the process. Like, y'all have a language and we still have a connection because we were, I know it supposedly don't exist no more, the Netherlands, Antilles or whatever, since 1010 and all of that.
Right.
But we still have that connection. We still kind of previous colonies, like that's yeah. still our kind of our connection. You know? So I see it as like, if we adopt Papiamento or something, to me, that is more of a language than Simhat in English is itself.
To create identity.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
I see. You bringing it down like this makes sense why you was conflicted.
To get Simhat people to speak Papiamento, that is a whole nother challenge that I doubt I could ever learn to speak Papiamento myself. But the whole population to transition from Simhat English to that, and then to instill that for a couple yeah. generations to really make it like stick.
Yeah. Although, honestly, Papiamento is probably the easiest language I've ever had to learn in my life.
In an environment where a million people speaking the same language? Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, in the sense of coming up in a household, speaking Dutch and English, and then hearing Papiamento.
Hmm.
Like, Papiamento is a very simple language just to understand.
Hmm.
But then when you learn it, because now it's like, because the Ruben Papiamento got complex, because now there's rules, then it's hard. Like, written wise, okay, yeah, it's going to be a challenge. But, like, I mean,
Kontabai, that's about as far as you're getting yeah. to go.
I don't know.
I but know I think, much more than that.
Yeah.
It's a good night.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good gateway to learn Spanish as well.
Mm-hmm. That's another thing that I often see, like when you look at students that come from Aruba, Bonaire, Curacao, and look at how quickly they adapt to Dutch and stuff when they come here, or the level of their Dutch
yeah.
as soon as they come here. Because I remember that, like, for when I had first come up here, I was in Havanti, the organization for Antillean students for Javier. And it's like, you would just see how comfortable people is with speaking the Dutch and just like common everyday thing, because of the fact that Papiamento incorporates some Dutch words. It's a lot closer to Dutch, and even the accent and stuff like that, in my opinion, than the way like Siman people who used to speak in English just transition to speaking Dutch. Yeah, certain people do it fine and whatnot, but
it's more of a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little extra hurdle, I think.
But I always thought, like, our dialect was part of the identity. You know, as it is right now.
But it just don't make no damn sense. When you really think about it, we're a Dutch colony. Why the fuck we speak in English? If it was speaking Dutch, cool. But why are we speaking English? It makes no sense.
It's true. Yeah. That is true.
It must have to be with like the people that immigrated from the US.
The US had owned, they had built our airport. It was part of a military base at some point. The Juliana Airport.
That explains it. The same thing with Aruba. Like, why the half of Aruba uptown speaks English? Because when the oil refinery came, that was when St. Nicholas was then the hub of the island, because that was where most people with money was, because most people with money was working in the oil refinery. And you had a bunch of people from the US and St. Martin and other islands coming on the island. And the global language in that time period was English, because it was an English owned oil company, and the rest.
Wasn't Shell? I could have sworn Shell
was. Maybe it was Shell, but I think the technicians and stuff, they were mostly Americans. So a lot of people that flew in from the States.
Or maybe that's the one in Curacao.
Curacao has one too, it's Shell, I think.
How much do y'all think entertainment has influenced that as well?
A lot.
Because when you think on radio or TV or...
I mean, look at what happened in here in this country, where it's like they got their own language, but still the younger generation, like the teenagers in this country, the amount of English and how much they incorporate English into the Dutch and stuff like that. I've heard complaints and stuff from teachers about the amount of Geleende woorden. Like, it's in a sense, because there's certain ones where there is a Dutch word for it, but still, like, the English word has become so prominent and used that it just replaces the Dutch word, and they just start using the English word. Like, for printer and stuff like that, there's Afdrukke and whatnot, but people just say printer. Because it's like, it just is what it is. Especially things with the internet, the words that come with technology, and like a lot of those are things that was literally created in the States, created in English speaking countries. So a lot of places don't have no word for it because it's a new word dealing with technology and the internet.
Googling.
Yeah. So they just take it over and they Dutchify it, I guess.
Dutchify it.
But yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing in general.
I hear contemplating if you should do, but like hit another quick topic because we are 27 minutes in.
I mean, why not? We the take-ins, we ain't got no rules.
It's supposed to be 9.5, so not a full episode though. Okay, so. And this is something that I guess we could touch on quickly, not getting too deep into it, but this TIA situation.
Give me a brief update.
The sad part is there ain't much to update, in the sense that basically, okay, so for those who don't know, T.I. said some shit on some podcast about checking his daughter Hyman, going with her to the gynecologist visits and stuff like that to make sure the hymen is intact to check for virginity. And since then, the update has been that T.I. went on the Red Table Talk to try to clean up some of these statements and all the backlash that he's been getting. He and his wife, Tiny, went on a podcast. I assume his wife. They didn't have a divorce, right? I know they had issues, but they're still wife, right?
I think so.
Okay, then, cool. Well, yeah, he and his woman, Tiny, baby mother of some of his kids and stuff like that, but... It was weird because she went there and she hardly said any words. It was just T.I. speaking for the majority of the time, which is not surprising if you look at T.I. and his wife interacting in weird ways. Like the kind of... T.I. has weird rules and stuff for how he sees to run his household involving, like, as was exhibited by the whole Hyman checking all these things. Like, the controlling nature, like, T.I. calls it protective and all of that. But the only thing that came out of the revelation is that it's good for the look, I guess, to try to rehabilitate his image with women and all of that type of thing. Because most of the backlash, of course, came from women. But I don't even know if it did that, because it didn't, in the interview, it seemed like he just kind of maintained some of his original position. But he just was like, okay, you know what? For the sake of Cameron's thing, I'm going to look like I'm listening and taking in the opinions of women and what is being told to me. But I ain't really changed my opinion that much. According to him, he was joking and it was exaggerated. And he clarified certain statements where it was like, it was when she was 16 and 17 and he didn't actually like go in there or whatever. He would just, it was already a scheduled trip to the gynecologist. It wasn't like a specific trip that was made to go just to check the hymen or whatever. Apparently it was just a trip. The mother was there and he didn't like go in or nothing, so he did clean up a little bit of it, so it's not as bad as it was originally thought.
But it looked good.
He gave more clear details on how everything went down.
Although I don't know if I believe it. Like, I really don't.
I wouldn't be surprised if that actually happened.
TA is great at playing fake woke. Or like, pseudo-intellectual in a way. Like, he uses the words, the expeditiously all, but you don't... Like, in that interview, he said something where he don't know what the word patriarchy means. Like, TA, you ain't serious. You talk about expeditiously and how your vocabulary is so vast and all of these type of things, and you don't know the word patriarchy and how some of what you could be exhibiting could be symptoms of that, controlling-ness and all of that.
Yeah.
But what do y'all thought, think about the situation in general initially, from like what y'all know about the first, the clips that was going around and all that?
Just nasty. Just felt bad. Felt bad for the daughter.
That was the only thing that I found was a missed opportunity. Like, I felt he should have gone there with him and his daughter.
And his daughter, yeah.
Or like at least have Willow there to express what potentially his daughter could have been thinking and stuff. Cause it was only Jada and her mother. Willow wasn't there for that one. And Will was like, yo, I see all the trouble you get. Cause he was in the intro of it a little bit, and that was kind of funny, seeing like, yo, I'm not here for this. Like, you gonna be by yourself while you deal with this Hyman nonsense. I out. So that was entertaining. But to me, it would have been a more productive discussion, like I said, if it was longer, and at least if his daughter itself was there, or the mother of the daughter, because Tiny and her mother need her. So it's like,
yeah,
it's weird why Tiny was in
there. Yeah,
Tiny was just to be Tiny.
Yeah. Just from hearing the first clips that came out, it just seems like very over controlling, that type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can't come back from that looking good. You can't, after saying that.
And I'm just thinking, public, like, why would you even say that, knowing the times we're in? Why would you say that on a podcast?
Because he thinks, I think T.I. legit thinks he's in control of mostly everything that happens around him. So he felt comfortable enough. You only say that when you really feel comfortable enough just to say that without thinking about, like, or you usually don't have to deal with
repercussions.
Yes.
Well, according to him, it's jokes, and it was just, you know, exaggerating, basically trying to show, like, yes, I'm protective, I'm involved.
I'm also curious to see how...
you really are involved, my friend.
Yes. He even put his finger in there himself.
But I'm curious
how the reaction would be had it been the mother that went and did that with the daughter.
I still think it would have been a big discussion,
people would be like, yeah, it's overprotective, but I don't know if they would blow it up to the extent that it is now.
I wonder if any mother ever would, though. Because seeing, like, the majority of the backlash is coming from women and stuff like that,
women of what age? I feel like that plays a role, too. Because if you're, like, a millennial or a younger woman, it makes sense why you would react like that.
Yeah, I guess maybe some older generation parents, like mothers, might have. But I feel like most women would be able to understand and empathize with the situation, and would think of like how would they feel if their mother went with them to check the hymen and stuff to make sure there was a virgin.
That's kind of like, what if your girl dances ballet?
All of that was addressed in the first clip and stuff like that. T.A. himself was saying, like, you know, he's aware that there's other things that could result in the hymen tearing. But he was like, yo, my daughter, she ain't in dance, she ain't in this and this and that. So if the time in here, that's his logic,
yeah.
Basically, because she not doing those other types of activities, gymnastics or whatever that yeah. might result.
What if she had a deal though?
Well, then T.I. would know about it. I guess now she got to tell T.I. about that.
Yeah. Man. I feel like the fact that it was a man, that it was a guy doing this, that
yeah, for sure, blow up especially in 2019.
Because even with people empathizing,
question. Like Jada had put that question to him, like, what would it be? Like, people take issue with, because you wouldn't react the same way if it was your son. If your son lost his virginity and whatnot, mm-hmm. you wouldn't react the same way. And then T.I. went on to explain his thing, where it's like, not seeing it as a double standard, but explaining where he feels he's justified in treating the son and the daughter differently, saying that if a son gets a chick pregnant, the household, the immediate household, is not changing within that 9-month period or anything like that.
Yeah.
And there is some truth to that, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's not that strong of an argument. Like, no. I get where he's coming from. Like, yeah, still somebody pregnant. That's still, if your son ain't prepared mentally and whatever to provide for this child and all these things, it's still a bad situation either way.
Yeah.
So it's like, you should be the message should be equal. It shouldn't be a double standard, more or less. But
yeah.
then that, when he went and justified that, as well, why I feel like, I don't know if T.I. really took in anything there, or he was just doing a nice, I guess, impression for the cameras to show, like, yes, I'm listening, I'm taking in, I'm trying to show that I'm reforming or I want to change and I'm not as serious about my initial
please
statements as I was.
Believe me.
Yeah, something
please
like that.
Please believe
yeah.
me.
From the little bits of podcasts I've seen from T.I. and whatnot, it seems like he don't listen a lot to when other people, like, really go into things.
Hmm.
Like, he would just sit there and let him talk, but then once he has something to say, he wants to make that point and that's, like, all he care about. Hmm.
There's certain people that put him in his place though.
I only check out 2 episodes of, like, from the Expeditiously podcast, but like, it's not that serious of a topic, it's not that deep. I hope most of us in here understand that, you know, this is not the way. This is not the way.
Definitely not. Of
this is not the way.
If you got that, nah. This is not the way.
Nah.
So
not.
That's the message that we can all take from this. I mean, I ain't saying encourage her to go there having sex, but I don't think this is the right way either. But
This is intrusive.
Stop shaming young people from having sex, people. Just teach your kids to have safe sex, because they're not going to stop them from having sex. Trust me, I know. I used to be a kid too.
Aren't you still? Right,
we'll see how you react when you have your own kid and you're reaching
no,
that.
No, but I mean,
that's the one thing I was going to say. Like,
I understand. I
say
what you
say,
want.
That's a topic for, like,
I understand that, right? But I understand that, right? But at the end of the day, like, you can't control it. Like, the only thing you can do is inform the fuck out of your kid. Like, inform them till they get tired of getting informed. That's the best thing you can do as a parent. But once you start, like, controlling, like, really body controlling, and that might backfire, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You see all these kids going to church when they get one time
pastors
to
pastors kids. There's a reason. Yes. There's a term for pastors kids.
Once they get one day
Greenleaf?
Free,
slightly kind of tangent. Any of y'all ever watch Greenleaf?
Greenleaf
show on Netflix. It's a really good show.
Yet.
Like, even I'm not a religious person into mm-hmm. the church and all of that. It's a show about, like, what life is like for people who run in mega churches and stuff like that. Like,
right.
If you could imagine what a Creflo Dollar or one T.D. Jakes, one of those, like, super famous mm-hmm. pastors. That
God told me I need
church,
a plane.
A Joel Osteen.
I need a plane to fly.
Like, it basically showing, like, it's black. You know, it's all black cast and stuff like that. Reason why I would watch something about religion is, like, it's a bunch of black. And it's a really good show acting-wise and story and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to be interested in religion to appreciate it, but
it's scripted. It's scripted.
Yeah, it's a series.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know why I mentioned that, but we here for 38 minutes. We were trying to make it for 30. So
I can just wrap it up.
Yo, this is still, we still on schedule if you compare it to the regular.
Yeah.
Under 45 minutes?
Yeah, boy.
All right. So once again, we'll just reiterate, make sure to look out for the next episode of the podcast, episode 100. We're going to be live streaming. Pay attention to the social medias for the questions and stuff that we'll be asking. Or just make sure, let us know. DM us and whatnot, tell us about certain topics that you'd like us to discuss, mm-hmm. submit certain things, send us articles and links or whatever if you want to talk about a particular topic that we may not have thought of and all of that.
Also if there's topics that we've discussed and you thought that we need to go over it again, or You know, maybe you guys have input as well.
We will consider that we missed or something like that. Let us know. Everything is on the table pretty much for this episode. It's going to be special. So yeah, and other plugs.
Looking forward to the interaction.
Or anything else I missed?
Yeah, just like if you want more episodes of The Takens, just let us know.
I guess so. Yeah, if he said so. So what, do you got any plugs?
I mean, yeah, don't forget to come to
Sunday and Monday.
Sunday, that we got Reckless, you one and only place for soca in Amsterdam on a Sunday specifically.
I was just gonna ask, is it the only place for
on
soca?
On a Sunday? Hell yeah.
Okay then.
And don't forget, every Monday, if you want to break the week, the weekend really early, like on a Monday.
Open the week right. Just said, come through. Mondays have to be a terrible thing. You can look forward to Mondays now, because there's the curious party at John Doe.
Exactly. And then regret being drunk on a Tuesday when you're at work.
Yeah, but that's not gonna happen. Y'all gonna enjoy yourself.
Exactly.
Shout out to DJs Bean and Woods and everybody else.
Yeah,
that is
Vlon and the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. Everybody that's a part of it. Alrighty then. So with all of that being said, peoples, we'll see y'all the next time we link up.